We have the awesome privilege of hearing from this guy tonight. He's such a neat dude. And he's also been a pastor in at a church called Tree of Life in Berkeley. And anyway, I can keep going on, but let me just ask David to come on up here. This is David, dude.
I'm going to get you that table.
Thank you, thank you.
This?
That'll do. No, I don't know if I'll probably just talk, so I'll be good. Thank you. Of course, if I need it. Well, hi. Thank you, Todd. That was not exactly the way I remember the story, though. I had my own experience that night, but that's true what he said. That happened, but kind of another cool thing to add to that story was, I hadn't really been exposed to the prophetic before this, and the folks that showed up were wildly prophetic that were leading, to the point where I'm like, so what happens if I actually go up there, what are they going to know about me? It's a fair question when you're first starting out. You're like, oh, are they going to see all that stuff that I don't want them to see? Well, anyway, I ended up getting up. I'm like, suck it up. Go for it, Let's get up there. So got up there, and I was standing on the line. And I was waiting and waiting. And finally, I honestly think that this lady passed by me like three times, and I was like, okay. And then when she stopped in front of me, she said to me, you've got a spirit of loneliness on you. And I was like, and then she walked away again. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this, lonely, goodbye. I was like, oh, okay, I don't know if I like this prophetic thing. Anyway, but what was neat about that is that same day, I made one of the best friends that I have. So talk about, a cure to loneliness. That God provided me with an amazing, amazing friend, right? Amen, right? It took me a while to see that, but, not just because, for whatever reason. I just didn't make the connection until more recently, but awesome. It is such a privilege to be here, and there's so many of you I don't know in this room, and if you're here, I'm so glad that you're here. There's many of you that I do know, and you are treasures to me for sure. So, Blazing Fire has a really significant place in my journey. I came to Blazing Fire first, kind of at the behest of Todd, who was here, and he's kind of was like, yeah, you should come check it out. And I was in a place of being pretty wounded. Anyone had a bad, kind of rough time in church ever? You just feel, just kidding, everyone. So so I had a kind of rough time, and Blazing Fire, was like that balm, that loving, gentle, safe balm that made everything okay, at least that was my experience. My wife, however, she came and was like, what's going on? And just because she had come from a very structured background with church, right? So you kind of, that's your background, you're like, what is going on? Is this legal? And you're like, can you do this in church, So she would find herself. I felt like we were supposed to go. She felt like we were supposed to go, but she sat in the back and cried while I was like running through the fire tunnels, This is awesome, She's like, no. Do we have to go back there? Now, of course, this is like, you know, maybe, I don't know, how many years ago? 10 years ago? 8, 9 years ago, something like that. A long time ago, relatively. You know, for both of us, it was just what we needed to heal, to really, you know, Brent has become a spiritual father to me over the years. He's and so just a significant relationship for me as I was discovering my dreams and needing a mentor and someone who had gone before me in ministry, someone that I could be myself around, you know, that was really, really safe, super encouraging. I think if you look that up in the dictionary, there's Brent smiling. You know, there's this picture, right? I mean, that's the truth. And I know we all love him for it. So because of all those reasons and more, it's a real privilege just to be here tonight and, you know, just to be with you. So thank you for having me. It is quite a night, I have to say. There's something deep going on tonight, something super deep. And in fact, I messaged Brent over in Uganda, and I said, "Hey, so I'm speaking. I don't know if you knew that, but just wondered if like there was anything we wanted to talk about ahead of time." And classic Brent, you know, he was like, "So awesome." He said, "Number one, be yourself. Number two, have fun. Number three, just beware. We've been having some really deep nights lately. So don't be afraid to go there." Little did I know I'd walk in here and I'd be like, you know, the bottom of the ocean, you know. It's been amazing thus far, so let's hope I don't screw it up. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I know. I just wanted you to laugh. Psalm 42:7, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your billows and waves overwhelm me. Isn't that the best place to be? Just like, sometimes just the, you know, his voice is like the sound of rushing waters. Just being in that place where the world is muted because of his voice. Just being surrounded, letting things just crash over you. Just the presence of God just crashing over us tonight. You know, I really just want to honor where you guys are at as a community, as a family, what you're going through right now, and just want you to know that I want you to feel like you can just be tonight. And actually, if you are just being, it always makes me feel a whole lot more comfortable when someone else is comfortable being themselves, you know? So please do me the favor of just being yourself tonight and just resting, and if you need to just sit and, you know, just be with Jesus. You can tune me out. I'm fine with that. That would be the best thing to do. But if I'm saying something awesome, please listen. So we'll see how that goes. Well, kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight. So I've been getting like little pieces over the past couple weeks, you know, and they come in like a little fragment here, a little fragment there, and I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, is this going to come together, you know? And kind of forced it out in one small sentence. I want to talk about believing God. I just want to talk about believing God. So, I have two things I want to do. I want to share a story of mine that has a recent story of mine, and then I want to I want to share some prophetic images that I had for this church. So, show of hands, would you like to hear the story first or the prophetic first? Story, raise your hand. Prophetic, raise your hand. Story it is. Okay. Cool. I didn't know which way to go. You guys really helped me decide. So let's see. Oh, Terry told me that the angels were over here. So that's where I'm going. I'll probably walk back and forth. I'm sure they've moved. I'm probably in the wrong spot now. Shoot! Todd actually mentioned when he was introducing me that I'm the pastor, or I don't think he really knew how to say it. I was a pastor of a church called Tree of Life in the Berkeley, Oakland, Alameda area, and we planted a small thing in my living room. It really wasn't like a church plant like most people do. It was like, hey, we just want to experience God. You want to come over and experience God? Okay. What time's good for you? Okay. Let's do that. And so we kept it pretty simple. And, you know, I had in mind over those first couple years, like, oh, maybe this will become something. We'll try. And I don't know. And you know, when you try something and it doesn't exactly work out, it certainly causes you to ask a lot of questions, you know, about yourself and about God. And I think some of those instances can really be distractions. And so, you know, I would always try to kind of center back on, wait, why am I doing this? Oh, yeah, doing this because we love his presence. And we would just did everything we could to protect that core value of just being in his presence. And so those years were really sweet, and I had, you know, just we all had such a good time and became a little family, and you know, I got to test my mettle for ministry and a dream that I had for a long time, and it was a great journey for me. But it was a journey that that I could see was starting to end, you know, and that's it's a hard thing to know what to do with. You know, when you could kind of forecast a season change in your life, I mean, I probably would marvel at somebody who knew what to do, you know, the right things to do in those moments, because it's just very confusing. It's sort of like, you know, we go from glory to glory, but it's hell in the hallway, you know? That's not my phrase, but I like it. It's, you know, it just felt, you know, it was hard. So I would say probably, I'm not very good with dates, but I would say probably about a year ago, I was starting to like sense this thing that was my dream that I had started like the same time we were having our first baby. And everything was going crazy, and it was costly, and it was a sacrifice, and we were, you know, but we were doing it. This thing that we had invested in, that we had given our lives to, and, you know, negotiated over with my wife, like, you know, I mean, in the throes of this thing, and this thing was coming to an end. And I could feel it, but I couldn't really see it. I don't think I wanted to see it. And so we kind of carried on, you know. It's like, how do you end? Oh, the truth is, like, how do you end a family? You know, that's what it was. It's like, well, we don't end a family. I don't know what to do right now, guys, but let's just, you know, if you want to keep coming together, we'll keep coming together, you know. And so we slowly just made sure that every person that was part of our family was doing as well as we could, you know, help them to do, making the decision through the transition. So we weren't a big church, we were small. We just kept getting smaller, and it was, you know, and I didn't know what to do with my life. So, you know, it was, so that ended probably about 6 months ago, except for the remnant who hung on and came over for, you know, kind of a little thing that I didn't really know what to call it, but let's have some food and catch up. You know, that's what we did. So, in that time, I had to figure out what I was going to do with my life now. Because it felt like my dream was gone, like my dream had ended. And, you know, I'm kind of a niche market in ministry. I don't have a master's, an MDiv, you know, I don't have the credentials. We're all part of the same river, and, you know, there's not many of us. So being as devoted as we are to the Bay Area, it's kind of like, well, what do I do now, you know? And the two guys that I know that are doing ministry and in our river that I see as having gone before me, you know, Brent and Pastor Greg Seamus, you know, so I hooked up with them a couple times. I'm like, guys, what do I do? I don't know what to do, you know, like, I was a couple points I was like, are you hiring, you know, like, how do I navigate this new territory, you know? And kind of had forgotten the God factor for a minute there, you know? Kind of forgot, like, he might have the last word, you know? But let's keep it real. It is really hard to remember that in the midst of, you know, in the midst of that place. It's like, I mean, I get David in the Psalms. You know, I get, like, he's like, okay, where are you? Like, where are you? I'm not seeing you at all. I don't know what to do. So I actually entered a period of anxiety. And you don't have to raise your hand, but if you've ever experienced, but if you want to, oh, man, that shook me. That was not fun. Not fun at all. Not fun for anybody. You know, it's like, you know, I have little kids. It's like, what's wrong with daddy, you know? I mean, and, you know, my wife, she was gracious, but I mean, I had to go and sleep on the couch way too many nights because I was just like laying in bed. I'm like, I'm going to wake her up. Like, I'm sweating. I'm anxious. I got to get in my car. I got to go drive somewhere. Like, I'm having a panic attack, you know? It was just no fun, no fun. So I'm not bringing you down into the deep places to leave you there. there's a good ending here. But I, in these moments where I would actually go out to my car, you know, here's what happened. It was chaotic. I didn't know how to manage it. And finally, some part of me was like, take some control over this situation. Like, be proactive about the problem. You know, so I'm like, okay, seems like if I were to chart this out, my issues happen around 11 o'clock at night, you know. So what am I going to do at 9 o'clock? Am I going to watch, you know, The Bourne Identity and have, like, my heart racing before I go to bed, you know, and then lay there and wonder why I'm all anxious? Like, you know, like that. Like, okay, let's use some common sense here, right? You know, so have a cup of chamomile tea, you know. Take a walk. So I would go out and sit in my car and listen to worship music. And we live in Alameda, which is, you know where Alameda is. And what you don't know is that I live near the beach. So I would drive just right down to the beach, and I would sit in my car. And I had this little routine where, this is kind of interesting. I was actually, heart-sinking myself. And it was working, so hey, whatever. I mean, I'll get one from somebody else too, but it was working, and I was managing this crisis, and I was getting some breakthrough. And one of these nights that I was out there, you know, and I was not feeling it. Like, it wasn't these like glorious like worship times. It was like I was just not doing good. And one of these times I was sitting out there, and the Holy Spirit just came. And very specifically came with a love for the church, a love for the church. And my first reaction was like, no, I do not want that. What is the point? What's the point? You know, I talked to a couple pastors. They ain't got jobs for me. You know, I started this thing. It ended. You know, like, I don't know. I've seen the limitations of my gifts. Like, there's no way out. Why are you going to give me a love for something that I can't fully express? You know, I mean, that was. And, you know, I mean, you just have to say it sometimes, but God's going to have his way. Like, I mean, it was too good, you know? That love was, I'm like, I'm not going to really reject it. I just wanted to be a little bit snarky, you know? So I threw a little attitude around, and then the love, I just said, okay, like, let's have a moment here. And, whoa, let me tell you, like, I mean, it's important to steward. If you're in ministry, it's important to steward your love for the church, because I think that period I described for you, that year, it had really taken its toll on my love for the church. And so I got overwhelmed by his presence. And things, you know, it's not as pretty as like, and everything changed, but things got better. And I want to take you back to that. I shared that I had gone around and talked to some pastors. Well, I had gone out to talk to Pastor Greg Seamus at Convergence House of Prayer, and I ended up. I was waiting to go in to see him, and when he came out, another guy came out with him, and this guy walked past me. And Greg said, oh, hey, you guys should meet. You're both in Alameda. And I was like, okay, I'm not feeling too good. I don't really want to meet anybody right now, but especially not in my town, you know. No, but I was like, he's like, we shook hands, you know, we, he really kind of lasered in on me, this guy. You know, I don't know if you can tell when somebody's lasering in, but he was like lasering in, and I was like, he seems like it feels like he wants something from me. Like, he's pulling on stuff, you know? He's asking me these questions, you know, like, oh, he's like, so you're a pastor? And I'm like, well, I was. I mean, I, you know, it's like, oh, you know, like, what do I say? Like, how do I say this? But he was, let's do coffee 1 month from now. I'm going to be back, and we're going to do coffee. So I said, okay, let's do coffee. Great. And, you know, what about my life? Well, I put it in the calendar. So, you know, I actually showed up for the coffee, and so did he. But what was interesting about that coffee meeting is that within 15 minutes, he was ready to offer me a job as a pastor of a church in Alameda, where I live. And what's really got me, you know, what's really got me, and it's why I wanted to talk tonight about believing God, what really got me about this experience for me was that couple nights after I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit, who was restoring in me a love for the church, I was back in my car, and I was sitting out there with a little bit of a different attitude, and all of a sudden, this prophetic unction hit me. And you and I know that we can name it and claim it. We can make declarations. You know, that's awesome. You know, fine. We can do that, and I'm sure there's some power on it. I'm sure. But, man, when this prophetic unction hit me, I knew what I was saying. I was creating things with these words. I just knew it. I sat there and I just, you know, get in a place like that, it's almost like God's saying, so what do you want? What do you want, son? Oh, well, since you asked, here's what I want. I want to pastor a church in Alameda, and I want it to be a spirit-filled church that wants revival, and I want to build sustainable revival in the Bay Area, right? So I just got really specific, and I just told him, I just laid it out there. I was like, this is what I want. I want to provide for my family through the dreams that you've given me that we've talked about for like 15 years. I want that, and I've wanted it a long time, and I want it still. And I just spoke it out, you know, and boom, it was like, afterwards it was like, whew, that just felt so good. I was like, yes. You know, and I didn't get into a place of like evaluating it afterwards, you know, like, was that stupid? You know, like, that's not going to happen, you know. I just let it be what it was. I didn't judge it, you know, I just let it be what it was. And then, and 2 days later, I'm sitting in Starbucks. And James, is his name, James, he asks me, he tells me, for the past month, God has been reminding me of you and putting you on my heart. And I think you might be the person that I'm supposed to talk to about partnering with me to bring revival in Alameda and Berkeley and this whole region. And I mean my jaw hit the table. I just felt like I was in some like trippy other world. I was like, this is weird, like this is really happening. Like I didn't know how do you react to something like that. It's too good to be true. It just felt too good to be true. I was like, so, you know, I'm going with the too good to be true thing. I'm like, all right, you don't know me. What are you going to hire me for, you know? Let me tell you about me. Let me tell you what I do and what I don't do, you know? Because I'm thinking the other shoe's going to drop here, you know, and he's going to realize that, oh, must be another guy named David that's tall, you know? So I tell him, you know, hey, listen, I like to flow, you know. I love like Holy Spirit, like I love to flow. I wanna, you know, I'm not good at structure. Got it? I'm not the structure guy. I love like the spiritual stuff, you know. And I just kind of laid it out there for him, you know. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what we want. That's what I need. He's like, that's exactly what I need. And as, you know, we've known each other now 18 minutes, right? So it's taken some time. I've been there a month. But the longer that I'm there, the more that I realize that he was right about me coming. And I was right to accept. Because there's a David-sized hole in that community. It's true. And it's a pretty amazing opportunity for me. So now I wanted to just share a verse with you. out of James. This is a mirror Bible translation. Consequently, my beloved brethren, when you're faced with temptation and contradiction, ponder the word that reveals your true origin. Do not ponder the problem. That's how frustration is conceived. This has been echoing through my life these past couple months. Because I think our tendency is to feel like we have to solve the problem. We have to, you know, the problem comes, we're confronted with it. We do something in relationship to the problem, right? We either run from the problem, we run into the problem, right? Like we do something. The problem, though, is always the thing that has the most significant say in the moment. You know what I mean? Like all of us will react differently to different problems. But in the car, on that one special night, my problems were overwhelming. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to, you know, I got all these dreams. I've got a family to provide for. I've got, you know, I just, the problems were just like everywhere. None of them was, you know, there was no resolution there. And so I just decided, well, let me just look back at who I am. Let me look at my origin in God. Let me look at what he says about me. And that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. You and I, we have to get to know ourselves in the light of his love. There's no kingdom advancing without you and me being ourselves. There's no grand church agenda that's going to, you know, take the world by storm. There's nobody else that's going to do it, you know. It's you and it's me in that place of great vulnerability where we recognize, whoa, like, I know that I'm special. I know that I'm loved. There's something in me that knows that. Whether or not I've been affirmed enough or I've been encouraged enough, that's another issue. But I think everybody in here knows that they're supposed to feel really good about who you're supposed to feel really good about who you are. As an artist, I can say that God has taken great consideration. He's considered how he's made you. He's thought about the desires that he's put in your heart and the dreams. And those aren't there coincidentally or by mistake. They're by design. And you know, it's Has anybody been in like a what you might call a desert season of your life? Okay, you all should raise your hands. Or, you know, but so if you're in one now, if you want to raise your hand, I'll just acknowledge you. I see you. I know. Thank you. Thanks. I'm sorry. Seriously, I want to show you the way out. I just came from there. See, the thing that happens in a desert season is that, for me anyway, this is what happened. I was a tree, and I lost all my fruit,
And I got in the desert, and I didn't know what I was anymore because I didn't have any fruit. I was like, oh, where are all those apples that made me who I was? You know? Now, I think in the kingdom, we can be fruitful in every season. But the operative word there is we can be. We have to learn how to be. Just because it's a truth in the kingdom doesn't mean that we know how to walk it out. So I didn't know how to walk that out. But what you got to remember in the desert is what kind of tree you are. And you have to look back at what God's done through your life. You've got to look back at your dreams. You've got to look back at the things that he's said to you, your desires, when you're talking to him. And you got to get established in the desert. It is such a powerful thing for you to get established in the desert when nobody's given you praise for the tastiness of your fruit. I mean, that's an unshakable character right there. So don't look at the desert as the place of disappointment or discouragement, or fear. Look at it as the place of strengthening. That you're going to be strengthened in this season of your life. You're going to be strengthened. I love this saying, and I heard it first from Bill Johnson, and I don't know who he heard it from, but it goes like this. Whatever the Lord builds, he will sustain. Whatever we build, we're going to have to sustain that thing. Man, I do not want to be caught building something that I have to sustain. That, to me, is the worst. It's just the worst. You know, because you can feel it. You're like, oh, how do I get out of this one, you know? Yeah. So, the reason that's important is because the desert is filled with temptations, isn't it? The temptation to think about yourself in a way that's not true to yourself. And you can certainly build something yourself just to get yourself out of the desert. This place is horrible right now because I'm not being fruitful. Everybody's looking at me. We go to a dinner party and I got to talk about how I don't have a job right now, you know, and what am I going to say? You know, it's just like, well, let me just do something. Stop feeling like such a dud, you know? I almost did. I had this whole plan B, and plan Bs are not really in my theology, but my theology was not exactly a working theology. when it hit the fan, I was like, oh, plan B sounds good right about now. it'll bring peace to everything. And I had it all lined up. I just want to encourage you that even if you are walking out a plan B or a plan C right now, there's a B and a C on the floor right here. How about that? You can walk away. Do it responsibly. But you can, you know, it's never too late to recover your dreams. I mean, I think that is, I'm a very, very much a process person. I believe in the finished work of the cross, and I believe that it was done. It is finished. Amen? He did it. He did it. We all know that. And getting it to trickle down into all the crevices of our lives is a process. Anyway, I would just love to see. Here's what I think about revival. I think that it has to be sustainable. And the only way that it's sustainable is if it doesn't stay in the church. If the church becomes a people that are expressing the kingdom And the kingdom has to be so intimate and so personal for you. Otherwise, it's just going to be the passing fad. Oh, I got trained in this, I got trained in that, and I'm walking around the neighborhood. Like, that's good, but that's not the kingdom. See, God crafted you and me with such a unique intent and purpose in mind that he just wants us to do us. He wants you and me to believe him for the manifestation of us on this planet. It's so important to him. That's his plan A. That's what he wants to see. All this stuff that we practice in church, it's meant to get filtered back into our families. We're meant to be the people of God, raising families that have these core values so that the earth can contain the fullness of God, so that the earth can hold on, the culture can hold on to his goodness. I think of spiritual mothers and fathers raised up in the church, and it's not just so that we can have a church full of mothers and fathers and children. It's so that we can become amazing mothers and fathers in the natural. I feel like I beat this drum a lot, and the people that are part of our community heard it a lot. But it is, I feel like the message that's in my life right now is, has so much to do with you becoming vulnerable to your dreams and desires and trusting him with all that you don't know, that great cloud of mystery, that cloud of unknowing. It's a hard thing to be still in. I think it's in Numbers, when the scouts are sent out, and they get into the promised land, and it's filled with these giants, and they say, it's like Caleb and Joshua and some others, and they said, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so were we in theirs. And there is such a false humility in the church. It grieves me that we have this culture that says, oh, we're not supposed to be great. I just give God the glory. I'm just going to, more of you and less of me, God. I don't matter here. That couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, how are we going to be a city on a hill with our light, shining and the people streaming to us? And I know it's in the Bible. I just didn't quote it very well, but you know what I'm talking about. I think the solution is that you get real with what's in your heart, with God. You pull those dreams out. I used to leave them up on the shelf. Just so you're comforted by my story, I had these dreams. I left them on the shelf. They looked really good on the shelf. I was terrified to take them down. I was like, well, I'll just call myself a dreamer. And I'll just look at those dreams and I'll be like, someday, someday. And it felt kind of good to have this dream, but and it was the scariest thing to reach up there, take it down, loosen the cap, look what's inside, realize, oh my God, if I do this, I'm going to be so vulnerable, so exposed, I could fail. And then what would happen? I wouldn't be a dreamer anymore, I'd be just a failure. That's a very scary prospect. If that's you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I just want you to know I identify with you. But that's not the last word. That's not God's last word. And you know, this is, I guess I'll just start speaking to you as Blazing Fire now, because I know a bit about your story and what you've gone through and where you've come from, and I've learned a lot from it, so thank you. And I have a sense of where you're going, and I asked the Lord to kind of show me a little bit of if he had anything that I could share. And I got this this really interesting picture in my mind this afternoon. And it was when I first saw it, what I saw was a big wall, a big, like, gray wall, almost like, you know, like those walls that surround a castle. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, and I thought, I want to see inside. I want to see over the wall. And then, like, I would go like this, and I just couldn't see, you know, just couldn't see it. And then, like, a couple minutes later, the image came back to me, and the Lord told me that that wasn't a big wall, that that was a foundation. And I looked at it more closely, and I could see that that it was still a little wet, but that the forms had been taken off, and that it was drying there in the sun. And I want to speak to your hearts as a family, because I know so many of you love this community, are really invested, and you know, when you're invested in something, you know you're vulnerable. You want to see it succeed. You want to see it grow. You want to see it become. But the first thing I want to tell you is that you guys have made so many good choices as a community on the road to sustainable revival. There are so many times when you can, you know, you're tempted to make the choice to, you know, you're at the dinner party. People are asking you what you do. You're like, God, I just got to get a job. I can't answer this question anymore, you know, like... It's that place. It's like, you know, I know as a community you guys have been, you know, in buildings and out of buildings and kind of wandering, you know, and wondering. And I want to say, like, I see the Lord in that, because, you know, the church is obviously not a building. It is the people of God. And what it takes to build a culture that's going to be sustainable for generations is it takes all of that shaking to build a foundation that's secure. You know, if you think about how a foundation is made, or when you pour concrete, you know, you have these forms and you pour concrete in, and then a wise builder will come along with like a sledgehammer and bang on the forms to get all the air bubbles to come out. Yeah, so that it settles, right? It levels, everything settles. And it won't crack, right? What happens to a cracked foundation? You got to pay a lot of money in the Bay Area to get it replaced. So I just wanted to speak that into your lives, that all the things that you guys have been going through personally and corporately, God, you know, God is bringing all the air bubbles up, and he's shaking the foundation. You know, it's just such a beautiful sentiment to this tonight. I'm just honoring Donna, you know. Having hard things happen and coming together as a family and processing it together. I mean, this is what I see, is that this family is going to last and is going to continue to influence the whole region. It's good. It's really, really good. So that's what I wanted to say. Amen. And I'm done. Actually, Could we do something? I'm not done yet. I gotta say, I just so love coming here because you guys get it. I don't want to be like a us and a them, but man, does it make it easy to preach. It's like, I mean, I feel like I could like just crawl up here and lay down and just breathe into the microphone for a while. And you guys would be like, yes. I do it, right? Well, that's not what the Spirit is saying right now, necessarily. But I will sit down because, dang, I'm tired. So in this deep place together, I wanted, and with the knowledge that you guys, how could you do that? Just kidding. in what used to be a deep place, but is increasingly getting more shallow as I crack jokes at other people's expense. Sorry. I thought it'd be good. For you guys just to speak life over each other tonight. Because you're so capable of doing it. You know, the prophetic to me is such an easy thing, as it just flows in its purest form. It's motivated by love. And you guys love to encourage. I mean, I got in here and I sat down and I just got overwhelmed with encouragement and love and support. And especially going through kind of a tough time as a family, but a tough time personally too. You know, there's those of you that could use it. I just want to encourage you. Maybe we can take some time right now. I don't know how you guys want to do that.